You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Incredible 99 cents, or get 3/4 inch solid pre-finished red oak for $2.59. Plus, it's your last chance to save $500 on Bellawood. Get deals on bamboo, laminates, and more from 49 cents and special financing. Don't miss this season's hottest hardwood deals. Visit lumberliquidators.com to find a store near you.
Would you wait several days for your cell phone to fully charge? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect? You can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
Several days into the agreed ceasefire, pro-Russia rebels are still violating the agreement in eastern Ukraine. The leaders of France and Germany pressed for both sides to respect the ceasefire and withdraw heavy arms. AP correspondent Jim Hines says it's not clear if either side has begun pulling out equipment.
A spokesman for the organization's monitoring mission said his monitors have seen the movement of equipment, but it's not clear whether they're moving to new offensive positions or genuinely being pulled back.
Meanwhile, President Vladimir Putin says he will not allow anyone to get a military advantage over Russia and pledges that the country will never yield to foreign pressure. Greece and its Eurozone creditors have made a deal. The finance ministers have agreed to a 4-month extension for Greece's loan arrangements. And the news helped the euro rally and the U.S. stock markets to turn positive. The Dow Jones Industrials gained 154 points. The S&P closed up 12 points and the NASDAQ gained 31. This is USA Radio News.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
The rocket launched into the air.
And then crashed into the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Jerusalem residents were greeted with a rare snowfall Friday when a storm dumped 10 inches in the Middle Eastern city. USA's Russ Jones has more.
A heavy winter storm descended on parts of the Middle East on Friday, with snow forcing the closure of all roads leading in and out of Jerusalem, and a number of schools were closed. Jerusalem resident Miriam Leibowitz says ancient sites in both Judea and Samaria are picture postcard pretty in unusual snow.
It was really exciting to wake up and our whole yard is white, and it's like a magic wonderland. In the middle of Jerusalem, we feel like we're in Switzerland or something. Very unusual.
Snow also paralyzed most streets in the Jordanian capital of Amman. I'm Russ Jones.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says the state's gay marriage ban has been needlessly cast into doubt after a judge gave a lesbian Austin couple permission to tie the knot. He wants the Texas Supreme Court to declare the marriage license invalid. He warned of legal chaos if the court doesn't make clear that a judge wrongly allowed the couple to wed. The two married yesterday after a state district judge granted a special order. Hours later, the Texas Supreme Court blocked other possible gay marriages but didn't rule on the license already given to the Austin women. The Justice Department will seek a stay of a federal judge's decision temporarily blocking President Obama's immigration order. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest says the paperwork will be filed with the court Monday. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, is everybody sick of the cold? Well, we're going to have a little more snow, but actually the better... hi, guys. We're going to finish with... let me talk about the weather, and then we'll go on to the sports guys, and Bill and Ken and I are here today. But guess what the better day of the weekend is, fellows?
Sunday?
No, I don't think so, even though tomorrow we're getting snow, because what's happening on Saturday night and into Sunday... is we're going to have that wintry mix of snow and sleet and rain and
that.
Ice, and that's the worst. So anyway, tonight about it, actually tonight should be partly cloudy, but not bad, cold. Tomorrow, 80% chance of snow, basically starting after 1 p.m. So get out in the morning, get whatever you have done. Everybody will be out buying milk and bread, which is always funny to me how people must have 3 weeks of milk and 4 weeks of bread left after a prediction of weather problems. But then stay put on Sunday if you can, because that's going to be the bad one. Monday should be partly sunny and mostly sunny into Tuesday, and it is going to be warming up. So guys, Bill Wolfson, Ken Milstray, and Pat Smits, you know, frankly, sports are kind of over for me. So well, what's happening in hockey?
Well, you know, Pat, that's an excellent question. Sports is never really over for me because I really am a four-season guy. But my Flyers are really disappointing me, I have to tell you. You know, Ken, to lose to Buffalo in a shootout and to lose to Columbus in not one but two shootouts, just when they were beginning to put it together. They were 6-0-3, and now they're 6-0-5. I keep saying to myself, the shootout's got to go, if only because my Flyers can't seem to win a game when there's a shootout.
You know, speaking of shootouts, Bill, the Rangers lost a shootout last night to Vancouver, but I know what you're saying about the Flyers. They looked like they were on the comeback. They've been playing well over the last few weeks. They had a hot goalie, and now, you know, but you can't lose to Columbus. I mean, they put themselves in a position where they can't lose those games. They lost to Columbus, and I wasn't aware that they lost to Buffalo.
In a shootout,
well,
3-2.
At least they get the point. And you're right. The shootouts are annoying because in a non-shootout game, see if you can follow my twisted logic here. A non-shootout game, you have a winner and a loser. The winner gets 2 points. The loser gets zero. In a shootout game, it's a bonus. The loser gets a point. I think.
Really?
Here's my theory.
So wait, what does the winner gets two, the loser gets one.
So it's a 3-point game. So it's a different, it's a whole different, the game has 50% more value than a non-tie game.
You're absolutely right.
Here's how they can remedy that. Winner in regulation, 3 points. Winner in overtime or shootout, 2 points. Loser in overtime or shootout, 1 point. And loser in a regulation gets zero. So basically, they're all three-point games.
Well, that would really turn it into what it was many, many years ago. If you won, you got 2 points. Sometimes you would end up after 60 minutes of hockey, and the game would be tied. Say 1-1, each team got a point. And you'd have wins, losses, and ties.
Right.
A tie would count as a point. But for some reason, the NHL felt that they really needed to have tiebreakers so somebody would win and somebody would lose. And that was done for a reason.
If that was the case, then why not just get 1 point if you win and 0 points if you lose? I mean, that would be, you know, the logical
and no
thing.
No points for a tie. So a tie would count as a loss?
Well, a tie would count as just wouldn't put it in, I guess. I mean, I suppose the question is whether or not you should ever have a tie.
But you can have a tie
in football.
You can.
Yeah, you can.
And you can't in hockey anymore.
And, you know, it really wreaks havoc with your schedule and with your standings. Look at what happened when Minnesota and Green Bay played to a tie the other year.
Refresh my recollection.
Okay.
It's been too long a week.
Minnesota and the Packers played and ended up in a tie.
Right.
And Green Bay ended up, I believe, having to, what did it get into the playoffs? It had to wait for Philadelphia to beat the Lions in the snow in the last game, and also had to be sure that if they won their next game, and I forget who their opponent was, they had to win by at least a touchdown. And I forget exactly how it shook out, but in football, it's even more drastic when you tie. I remember when Donovan McNabb was the Eagles quarterback, they got into a tie with Houston, and that kept them being a road team in the playoffs, throughout the playoffs.
Well, then I think what Ken is saying makes sense. I mean, why, especially, it seems to me, and I'm not, you know, I don't follow hockey. I did years ago. But, you know, it seems like the shootout basically is luck. I mean, it was like when they had the NFL rule that in overtime, the first team that scored, that never seemed fair to me because it was always the first team that got the coin. They won the coin toss, and they would get to do a field goal. At least now, although I still don't think it's fair, I still think in overtime, each team should have a chance to get the ball. And there shouldn't be, you know, they improved it a little bit, but I don't think they went all the way. So in football, it seems to me that each team should have the ball, because otherwise it's really the flip of the coin. Who wins the coin toss?
Well, that's true. And then if you look at the Stanley Cup playoffs for hockey, the rules change, and you can't have a tie in a Stanley Cup game. You play till somebody scores. So you could have seven or eight periods. I remember the Flyers playing Toronto, and they played three periods. It was tied 2-2. They played three more periods. It was still tied 2-2.
Well, why is it in hockey that they don't do that? Just because the games would go on too long?
I guess it's just too physical a game. In a regular season game, you could have that scenario where you go 2, 3, 4 periods, and the players would be so tired, the injury risk would be incredible. I assume that's what it is. I think baseball really gets it right. You play till somebody wins or loses, you know.
But
there's not the injury risk. Yeah,
well, but also
not the injury risk that there is in baseball. You can't do that in football, really. You can't just play until somebody's, you know. That's why they do eventually play ties in the NFL.
But, you know, baseball is a more leisurely game. There's a lot of stoppages of play in baseball. A lot of people think baseball is boring. I enjoy baseball because it's a break. It tends to have a slower pace.
But how many baseball games go to 12 innings, for example?
Very few.
And I could see hockey, you know, people would be sleeping in the stands watching because there's so often that it goes so long.
Well, they do in Buffalo even during the regulation.
But no, Ken, I think if they were going to change it, you're absolutely right. Everything should be a three-point game.
Yeah.
Because frankly, to get 2 points in a shootout, I mean, it seems to me that that's, you know, it's just not the same.
And yeah, I think I know why the NHL does it. It creates parity. A inferior team can get a point just by tying the game and praying and holding on.
Exactly.
And they might get lucky in a shootout. And you see that in the standings, and maybe this is why they do it. The standings are so close. Every year, two or three teams make the playoffs or miss the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. It's a point or two difference.
Well, that's absolutely the case.
And it goes to the tie. Look at the Devils. The Devils missed the playoffs last year because they didn't win a shootout. They were 0-16?
Let
was
me
it
give
0-16?
You the classic example,
John was here.
Ken.
He would know.
Right.
Let me give you the classic example. It's April 10, last game of the season, Flyers-Rangers. You've got Brian Boucher in the net for the Flyers. You've got Henrik Lundqvist in the net for the Rangers. It's tied at the end of regulation 1-1. They play the 5 minutes. 4-on-4. It's still tied. Now they go to the shootout, and the tension builds because whoever loses the shootout goes home for the season. Flyers win on Daniel Briere's bizarre wraparound goal. And first of all, they said no more wraparounds on the shootout. Second of all, the Flyers went and then had all that momentum, and they went out and beat Boston. They beat Pittsburgh, then they beat Boston. Then they're in the Stanley Cup Finals against Chicago, where they lost, of course, in Game 6 at home. But you still have the problem of you build so much tension and so much excitement into when something comes down to those that last deke or that last save, that, you know, it added something to the NHL, which a lot of people like. Personally, I don't care for it.
What do you think? What are you saying? What added to the NHL?
It added to the tension and the drama.
What, the shootouts?
In a shootout when these two teams were literally tied for the last playoff position. And it ended, and they were tied at the end of regulation. They were tied at the end of overtime, and it really came down to a shootout. I would have much rather have seen them play until somebody won rather than have a skills competition, because, you know, it really depends on luck.
Well, it does. It seems to me that a shootout is really luck. Well, I mean, to some extent, you know, any goal is luck, because these goalies, and they are so good. I mean, they really are.
It's gotten to the point where they now actually, the savvy general manager in the National Hockey League gets one or two guys on his team specifically because they excel at shootouts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, they made the goalie
pads. Why wouldn't they?
They made the goalie pads an inch smaller 2 years ago just for that reason.
Yeah. The other thing I would say about the shootout used to be pre-shootout. What have we been doing shootouts? About 15 years?
Yeah.
Let's give or take. The most exciting play in hockey was always what?
The breakaway.
The breakaway, and even more than that was the penalty shot.
Oh, yes, penalty yes.
And now a penalty shot is routine because we see essentially what is a shootout except a series of penalty shots.
Exactly.
I mean, the penalty shot is nothing anymore. It's not even exciting because we see it
it's routine
all the time.
But, you know, I remember years ago, there were you would see a penalty shot maybe once or twice a season.
Right.
It was really rare. And the only time they would call a penalty shot is when a guy had a clear pass to the goal on a breakaway and he'd get hooked from behind and be pulled down so he couldn't get the shot off.
Or someone was murdered.
Pardon?
Or someone was murdered.
Well, that doesn't count in hockey.
That's just a 10-minute, 5 or 10-minute misconduct penalty.
A 10-minute misconduct with 5 for fighting, right? But, you know, and that's only if nobody used their teeth. But the problem in hockey was that there was always a possibility of a penalty shot on a breakaway, particularly when the defense, and it was done deliberately in the 40s, they put this rule in because the defense would take the bad penalty. They would hook the guy, or they would trip him, or throw the stick. And throwing the stick in the path of the puck generates another penalty shot, especially if it's done from behind the offensive player going in, if there's no one between him and the goalie. So you get some very interesting tweaks to that rule, and penalty shots were as rare as Halley's Comet. You'd see one or two a season.
Yeah, that's what made them so exciting. And now I think 20 to 25% of NHL games are ties, and they're decided by a series of penalty shots. So
It wouldn't surprise me if that statistic were correct.
Yeah. So, hey, at least it's better than soccer. You know how they decide things in soccer?
I'm not a soccer fan.
I'm not, but for some reason I know this. During the regular season, they play ties in soccer.
Right.
In the playoffs, a playoffs series is two games, home and home, total goals. So if you beat me 1-0 and I beat you 2-0, I win the series 2-1.
I didn't realize that.
And if you're tied in total goals, say you beat me 1-0 and then I beat you 1-0, then we go overtime. And if overtime doesn't settle it, then they have a shootout too.
Isn't that the way the U.S. women's team beat the Chinese women's team 1 year in an Olympics or a FIFA playoff?
Could be. You got me on that one, Bill.
I don't know. I'm not
you win.
Fan.
Well, my
I do like women, though.
We know that. My goal is to see another change in National Football to make sure that in overtime each team gets a shot at the ball. In other words,
isn't that how it is now? It's not.
No,
I thought it was that way already.
No, right. Remember, it was that if the first team could not win by a
touchdown,
no, they can win by a. If they could not win by a. Wait, the old rule was they could win. The first team that scored would win, so they could win by a field goal. So basically, the first team to get the coin toss, to win the coin toss, I mean, if they couldn't go down and get a field goal, they didn't deserve it. Now it's the first team, they can't win by a field goal, but if they get a touchdown, remember, they can win. So
that's weird. I wasn't aware of that. That's
yeah, in fact, that's
that.
Where.
What about what if somebody gets a safety?
I think that's the same thing. I think they can win if they get a touchdown or a safety.
Huh.
But they can't win. If they get a field goal, then the other team gets the ball to see if they can,
touchdown.
Well, or
tie it up.
Or tie it up. You can't win. So they changed that rule, but they didn't change it to the point where I think they should have, and that is that each team gets to have their 15 minutes and then see what the score is.
Well, they do it differently in the regular season than they do in the playoffs, right? Or no?
I didn't think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
In the playoffs, I think they still,
they have
still
to have a winner because somebody has to move on.
Well, sure, but what you do is each team should have the same amount of time and then see what the score is. And then if that doesn't do it, then they could have another 15 minutes
each. Why not do it the way the NCAA or high school does it, where each team gets the ball on the opposing 20-yard line, and if you score a touchdown, right, then I have a chance to score a touchdown.
Right. No, I don't like that. I think at the NFL it should be the regular. In other words, I don't like that 20-yard line. I mean, maybe it works for high school and college, but no, not at the NFL, not at their level. But they should each get the ball. I agree with that. I think that,
in other words, one team kicks off, the other team gets the ball,
right,
and then if they score or if they don't, the other team
has the same chance.
Right.
Because otherwise, the first team that wins the coin toss, that's what happened to Green Bay. So, you have to, in my view, you have to give each team the same amount of time, and then if they're still tied, then we'd have to think about something else. But certainly, I think it's unfair,
having
that.
I have to admit, I didn't see the Seahawks winning touchdown. I walked away. I figured they'll still be playing when I come back. I come back to the TV 3 minutes later, and the Seahawks are jumping up and down.
Yeah, because
I didn't even know how it ended.
Well, that was it.
That's a shame.
They won the coin toss. They won the coin toss, the toss coin. The coin toss, and they went down, and they scored, and that was the end of the game. So. Yeah.
That's not right.
But
the Packers should have had a chance. No matter which team got the ball, the other team should have had a chance.
I absolutely agree. And that's what. And I like the fact that they changed it from the first team to get a field goal. That was a good change, but I don't think they changed it as they should have. I think they should have done equal time. But I don't like the 20-yard line rule.
You don't like that one?
No.
I guess it works in high school because it's hard enough for a high school team to score from 20 yards
right
out.
Yeah,
you're right. A pro team, 20 yards is nothing.
That's the red zone. You're expected to score there.
Expected to.
But you know, it's funny. I saw Temple play Virginia Tech in Lincoln Financial Field. The game was tied at the end, and this was like a moral victory for Temple. Temple gets the ball on the 20. No, VTech got the ball on the 20, and they scored. So now Temple gets the ball on the 20. And they throw an interception. And everybody went home crushed. But it was exciting. And having gone to a lot of Temple games, I'm used to walking out like with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter because Temple would be at least two scores behind. And I would have felt I had done my duty as an owl. But on the other hand, you know, when your team is bad for so many years, and now they've got a tie with Virginia Tech, and it goes into overtime. It's exciting. And, you know, there's no parity in college football like there is in the pros. It just added something to the game for me that it was tied at the end and they had to go into this
overtime
gimmick. But it was a gimmick, and you're absolutely right. A lot of people don't like it.
Well, let me also say that one of the things that, and you guys know a lot about football, and, you know, I think that the Pete Carroll call at the end of the Super Bowl has got to go down as one of the top 10 stupidest calls. And I'm just wondering if it's number one. I mean, it's got to be right up there if it's not number one. There certainly have been stupid calls, but that one...
It's hard to believe that anything could be worse than that.
Yeah, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, think about it. I'm trying to think if I ever saw... I mean, from the one-yard line, you've seen...
He's got
play action. You've seen guys, you know, do different things. But usually if you throw a pass, it's some sort of a lob thing in the end zone that's a safe pass. It's either a touchdown or it's incomplete. I'm trying to think, have I ever seen from the one-yard line somebody take one step back and throw the ball into the middle of the field where all the players
were? Where all the players were. Especially when you have somebody like Lynch.
Right.
Who...
Marshawn Lynch can just blow through people.
He never gets tackled for a loss, ever. Never. And he had two
Even if he had, more. He could have done a couple other plays. And certainly, even if he got tackled, he would have held on to the ball.
Right.
I mean, that would have been a colossal if he would have lost the ball.
See, I was rooting for New England, so I was happy when that happened. Okay. I'm the guy that was rooting for New England. But it was obvious when that guy made that unbelievable catch that went off his thigh and off his knee, and he finally caught it at the five-yard line, the game was over. I was like, I can't believe New England. A couple years ago, they lost a game because the guy pinned the ball to his helmet.
Well, that was a Giants game.
The Giants game, and now they're going to lose a game with this guy.
He's got the ball.
The ball's off, coming off every part of his body. I felt bad for the Patriots, and then lo and behold, Seattle doesn't score. It was incredible. That game was over. And there's no doubt Seattle was going to score. With that running back.
Absolutely.
And that running attack from the five-yard line, he gets four in the first one. But give him the ball again.
Well, and then the I did not recall who made that incredible catch. I can't remember who made that
for Seattle.
I'm trying to think.
No. Well, but remember Butler who made the interception
right
for the Patriots.
That catch.
He was the one, and I couldn't blame him.
I felt bad for him. He did everything. He thought he knocked the ball down, and it was dead play.
But you felt bad. I didn't know who it was at the time, but for the fact that he's the guy who defended that catch, that incredible catch that was made, but then was the same guy that did the interception. I mean, that was really pretty
amazing. What goes around comes around. You know what? I don't know the guy's name that caught the pass.
I don't know either.
We'll have to Google that one.
Yeah, but it was Butler, and I only found out later it was the same. I mean, I knew who intercepted it, but I hadn't realized that he was the same defender, guy who was defending against that.
But you make a good point, Pat. I can't believe people were criticizing him for allowing that pass to be caught. That play was dead. It was dead. I mean, they throw the ball down.
They couldn't criticize him.
The ball's
him
for bouncing
that.
Around, and they go incomplete. Oh wait, he caught it, and the defender did everything he could have done.
Well, I don't think they.
A couple people
really?
Were like, "He got burned. He got burned on that play."
Oh, come on! I don't think he got burned on that play. That was such an incredible play. I don't know if anybody could have defended it any better.
No, but there's no human being that could have gotten up and done anything about that play once the guy was on the ground. The ball was bouncing off various parts of his body. That was unbelievable. That was almost a victory. Oh my gosh! What was the guy's name on the Giants now? David Tyree.
David Tyree caught the ball, pinned it to his helmet while
the guy was pulling on it. That was unbelievable.
Well, in fact, that catch is also going to go down in the one of the top 10 amazing catches of the year.
I think so.
You know, definitely will. Well, and I love to watch those things, by the way. They're always so funny. But the Pete Carroll.
I can't think of his name. Kersey? Was his name Kersey? I don't know.
They're always fun to watch. And I get a kick out of watching those highlights.
Oh, Kersey? Was it somebody like the name of Kersey?
I'm going to Google it right now. You guys talk among yourselves.
You're going to Google that and see? Well, you know, it's always interesting.
See, we always get back to football, don't we, guys?
How is that? We should change the show to the football sports guys. But, you know, plenty of other sports to talk about. Pitchers and catchers reported today in the state of, and Joe Girardi gave a speech about the state of the Yankees. I didn't get to hear it.
And, of course, what's the weather like in Florida?
It must probably be at 50 degrees.
I don't know. Some of these places, what was it, in Tennessee or Arkansas, kids couldn't go to school because the buses were frozen.
Oh, my God.
No, seriously, they were frozen in the ice.
Jermaine Kearse.
Kearse.
Means nothing to me. I never heard of him before.
That's
but
But, you know, it's icy cold out there. It's 10 degrees. The wind's blowing.
In Florida?
You know, it's time to get the skates on and go ice skating outdoors. It's been cold enough.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
The ponds are frozen at least 4, 5, 6 inches deep, enough to support a skating party. How come nobody builds bonfires anymore and skates around on ponds?
And because they probably would be picked up for trespassing. But, you know, the one thing, and I grew up skating on ponds, but to really skate on ponds, you have to flood them. In other words, that's the way to have great skating.
Do kids still skate on ponds? I can't tell you the last time I saw kids skating on ponds.
Well, they skated on ponds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, first of all, well, maybe there aren't as many ponds, I guess. And in New Jersey, it's not usual to get enough deep ice that you can skate. Now, I haven't been right around Round Valley, but last year there were people out there ice fishing. On the other hand, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I didn't think that ice was deep enough. You know, in Wisconsin, you drive the big trucks out on the ice and they fish. But this year, if we get more of this weather, you know, they'll be out on ice fishing on Round Valley.
I went ice fishing once, Pat. It was the most boring ice 8 hours of my life. We didn't get one bite, not one, nothing.
Did you have a little shanty at least that you stayed warm?
There was no shanty.
Oh.
I was told there were going to be so many fish biting, we were going to be running back and forth between these poles, and that we wouldn't have time to do anything.
Wait a minute.
For 8 hours.
Wait a minute. You don't understand the sport of ice fishing.
It's not a sport.
The sport of ice fishing is you take your shanty out, you take your stove out, you take a couple cases of beer out.
We did have beer. That was there.
Okay.
Yes.
And
we didn't have any shanties.
You sit around, and in fact, people take televisions out there now.
I bet they do, and generators.
And generators.
And you know, there's nothing quite like pushing a 12-foot by 10-foot log cabin on runners all the way out into the middle of a lake in Massachusetts. Cranking up the generator, opening the big trap door, taking an ice auger and drilling a big hole, and getting the stove going, getting nice and warm and toasty, getting those lines in the water, drinking those beers, and watching the Bruins play the Montreal Canadiens. And if you get a bite, great. If you don't get a bite, as long as you don't fall in that hole.
Yeah.
Well, they're not big enough to fall in the hole.
Well, see, that's the advantage. You had an ice ice auger. We had a pick.
Oh, you can't do it with a pick.
They sell ice augers.
But there were no
all over.
My point is, there were no fish. Not one bite. And I had the big buildup. Oh, you're going to be running around. There's going to be a bite over here. You're going to hear, and there's going to be a bite over there.
Well,
not
you know,
one. Nothing.
I have to tell you, the most. I'm trying to think if there's a more exciting sport to participate in. I know, Bill, you love to sail. But I have to tell you, ice boating, which is sailing on ice, is unbelievable.
They're doing it on a barnacle now.
Are they?
Yeah.
I mean, that is unbelievable. It's a boat with runners.
Wow.
And they wax them.
And you go out and, I mean, sounds feel dangerous. Like you're going 300 miles an hour if there's a lot of wind. And there usually is because you're on a lake.
It's not a sailboat.
It's
basically
an
extended canoe-shaped hull, no keel, just two runners. And it has a mainsail, and it has a jib. And you sit in it almost like a sit-in kayak.
Oh, I don't remember the kayak part. I remember it was pretty big.
You got to put a helmet on, and you
pad yourself
up real good with gloves. and you put out the sails, and suddenly you're speeding over the ice. I've never done it, but I've seen ice boat races.
You've done ice
boats? Oh, absolutely. Wow. And in fact, I don't remember it being that small and down in. I just remember, you know, hanging on for dear life, honestly, because you were going so fast.
How do you control it? How do you stop
it? Well, it's like
a sails
boat. You know,
yeah, but
honestly,
you're sliding. You have so much inertia. You're sliding. It's not like you're in the water and the water stops you.
No. They spin it around.
They spin them around.
Well, it's like...
I guess the professionals know what they're doing.
The way you slow down is you jibe or you tack. You basically spin the boat around and drop the sails, and that's how they stop it.
But, I mean, it doesn't stop on a dime, believe me.
I believe that.
You can throw on an ice anchor, but it's dig into the ice and...
No, you wouldn't do that. I mean, I have never seen that because you anchor, then you'll go. Everybody will go flying.
So how fast do these things go?
About 60, 70 miles an hour.
Oh yeah, no, they're fast. They are really fast. I mean, you feel like you're going 200 miles an hour.
Did you ever go tubing? Did you ever go ice tubing?
Ice tubing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, down a mountain. They have them at all the ski resorts around here. You're doing 50, 60 miles an hour in a tube.
Well, have you ever gone, I'll do something else on ice, have you ever gone gold pan,
nope.
What would you call it? Like the tubing, but using gold pans?
Oh, gold panning for gold?
No, yeah, but you use a gold pan for panning with gold, and you use it as,
go
a,
down a,
as
mountain?
A sled?
No, heck no.
That's fun.
A gigantic tube is fine for me.
Well,
we used to go up the Blue Mountain, and
Yeah, but that's all organized. You use the gold pans up on a mountain where there's just
that sounds like a death wish.
Well, I don't know about that, but
the other thing is, of course, not only the ice boating, but the taking the cars out on the lakes, which is what we always used to do.
I think that's insane.
And you
to do
drive
that.
As fast as you can. And
don't they have races? They have races, right?
Oh, they have races, sure. But I'm just talking about
like
kids.
Wisconsin and Minnesota,
yeah, of course,
and places
but
like
I'm just
that.
Talking about as kids. You take, you drive out on the ice, go as fast as possible, and slam the brakes on and just go spin it all over.
Yes, that
luckily,
sounds like fun.
Nobody ever flipped a car.
I've done that on dry land.
Well, you know,
wow! Look at that, an ice boat.
Years and years ago, my wife and I were up in Nova Scotia.
Look at that, radio fans!
And we were up at the Nova Scotia in the summer, which lasts about 2 weeks. It's a beautiful place. But we went to the Hudson Bay Company store because we had never been in there, and everybody's heard about the historic Hudson Bay Company. And you go in there, and you can buy an ice auger so that you can go fishing, drill through the ice, and the ice auger is basically a big, long screw with a very pointy end, and the really good ones are almost like diamond chisels. And you rotate this thing around with a hand crank, and it drills about a foot diameter hole in the ice, and then what happens is you can drop your lines in there. Often wonder what happens if two guys catch a fish at the same time. What the heck, how they're going to get both fish out. But it's they do work, and they even, the Hudson Bay Company, responsible Canadian company that it was, even had a film that showed how the product was to be used. For those of us who love the frozen north and don't mind winter, there are all sorts of things to do. I mean, you just can't sit around and watch TV and eat and drink.
Well, and with all the snow, it's fun to go out and build forts. Bill is pulling up, so go online. Bill, what did you pull up to find the ice boat?
Yeah, go to Google and then Google the word ice boat races, and you'll see them in places like Madison, Wisconsin, or Switzerland, or even Sweden and Iceland, and
but
they really go fast.
What you're seeing there is a smaller boat. I mean, those are the racing boats. They're also bigger boats. I remember bigger boats as a kid where there were, not just one person or two people on the boat. So those are the racing boats. And in fact, Bill just pulled up looks to me like that was, it was in Madison. It was Lake Mendota, because it looked to me like I saw Picnic Point, and we used to swim out there. We used to swim from the college campus in Madison and swim over to Picnic Point. And, you know, there was a lot of sailing in the summer. Bill, you would have loved going to Wisconsin. You know, you could spend 4 years at Wisconsin and never go to class and be busy constantly with all of
the ice boating, or
all of the, well, sailing, ice boating, you know, you name it. There was, and talking about, and I know none of us are really basketball fans, but I have to say my Wisconsin Badgers, I think, are now ranked fifth in the country.
Wow.
So they're really, they've got this guy Kaminsky, who is just unbelievable. And they played Illinois, when did I watch that? Saturday, Sunday? Probably Saturday. And, of course, they won. And interestingly, you have to look at the Wisconsin lineup. They're almost all kids from Wisconsin, although Kaminsky is actually from Illinois. But the, you know, the stereotype of only blacks are great basketball players, look at the Wisconsin team. I think they have one starter on the team who's not white.
That been quite a year at Wisconsin, right? They finished top 20 in football as well.
Yes.
Right? Despite they didn't win the conference championship. But that's you don't see that many schools that excel at both.
Well, and the fact is, I mean, I went to Wisconsin many years ago, but I don't think I ever went to a basketball game, maybe once. I mean, basketball was big in Indiana, and it certainly wasn't in Wisconsin. High school basketball was, but not college. But now they really have great coach who's been with them for about 14 years.
Well, Philadelphia was always a basketball hotbed, particularly when you talked about Big Five basketball going back to the 1930s. They would always play in the Palestra on Saturday nights. So that's the only basketball atmosphere I've ever seen that rivaled places like Indiana.
Well, and in fact, the Wisconsin coach, who's been there for about 14 years, is up for some, I can't remember what award it is, but kind of like best coach of the year or something like that. Sorry, folks, if you're basketball fans, because I don't remember.
We're really covering the gamut tonight, Pat.
We are.
Hockey, football, soccer reference.
It's a sports show.
Yeah, but guess what?
Ice racing.
We haven't talked about curling yet.
College basketball. One more thing before, I think I know what direction you're going in. One more thing, have to salute the Phillipsburg Stateliners, who won their record 19th state sectional title last weekend.
Wow.
19 times.
Wrestling. Wow.
You know how they have those banners that have all the years that they win?
Yep.
They have four banners now because they run out of places to put the years. Phillipsburg lost their first dual match of the season and has now won 19 in a row. Looking forward to... I'm not that big a wrestling fan. I think the districts are next, and then the regionals, and then the states. So,
well, Phillipsburg is really have had good athletic teams for a long time.
They have the New Jersey state record for wins by a football team, and they hold, I think, they're second in the state for wins as a wrestling.
Well, wrestling was big in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, every high school. I don't remember so much college, but certainly high school. And the nice thing about wrestling is that, you know, you could be anywhere from puny to big and wrestle. I mean, I thought that was the one sport that was kind of an equal opportunity for boys.
Right, because I think the lowest weight class is 106 pounds, which is really pretty small.
Right.
And it's basically freshmen. There's no upperclassmen at 106 pounds, and it goes all the way up to super heavyweight. Phillipsburg has a kid that's 285 pounds at wrestle. So you're right. Everybody and anybody can do it.
Well, boys. It's equal opportunity sport for boys. I don't know if girls, you know, I could. But no, you're not talking about my sport.
And your sport is?
I think it was Sunday morning, professional bull riding. Yeah,
I missed
professional
it.
It was really very exciting, and they're you know, there were a couple of the guys, three of them, that actually, you know, all right, let me ask you guys, how long do you have to ride a bull in professional bull riding so you win rather than the bull winning?
8 seconds.
What's your guess?
My guess is 10 seconds.
It is 8.
All right, Bill.
Yep, yep, yeah. Bill has never watched one, but he knows.
Hey, I've been full of bull for a long time.
But it's actually a very exciting sport to watch.
Like a lifetime, 8 seconds on a bull.
Oh, it is. It really is. And those bills.
Some of those guys, and they're holding onto a rope with one hand.
Right. Well, they actually wrap the rope.
Really?
But,
I can't ride a mechanical bull for 8 seconds.
Well, I mean, and I'm telling you, at that level, these bulls are really unbelievable. Watch it sometime. It's actually a fun thing to watch on television because you get to see it right up.
Well, who remembers? Way back when.
Do they ever put like a head camera on some of these riders?
They should. If they haven't, they should.
I don't remember. But you know, one of the things that I have to say that like other sports, it's a really dangerous sport.
Wait a minute, Pat. You saw this? It was on TV recently?
On Sunday.
ESPN?
Oh, I don't remember. No,
used to have it.
I think it was on one of the, I think it might have been two channels. I mean, I think it was on ABC, CBS, or NBC.
Used to be a Wide World of Sports thing. Remember Wide World of Sports?
Right,
before?
Right.
I used to love that as a kid.
But that's the kind of events they would have.
Right.
Right.
I think
saw everything
this was,
at some point.
Right around noon on, as I remember, right around noon on, it couldn't have been Saturday because I was on Sunday.
But in the infancy of ESPN, they would have rodeo. I remember a couple of Larry.
But this wasn't rodeo. This is professional bull riding, and they.
Oh, they didn't do all the other events?
No. There is a professional bull riding association, and, they're. Who's going to be the winner? And you know, frankly, I'm sorry, I'm so tired today, or I'd be able to rattle off some of these guys' names. But the one thing I was going to say, I think this is probably, I don't know of another sport that's more dangerous other than maybe auto racing.
NASCAR starts Sunday too, you know.
Yeah,
Daytona 500 Sunday.
Yep. But really, I mean, these guys really can get hurt, but they are now, and I'm pleased to see that every one of them, it may be a regulation, I think it is, that they now wear the helmets and the face mask.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. And so
they don't just wear a cowboy hat and a kerchief?
They used to use the cowboy hat and the kerchief, but no, now they're wearing, because one of the guys fell, and I don't know how he didn't break his neck. I mean, he really fell back on his head and his neck. And
Let me ask you, Pat, what do they do? I mean, are these bulls naturally this angry? Or what do they do?
Oh, no, they breed them.
They breed them for aggressiveness. And I've heard that they actually strap a very sensitive part of the bull's body.
Well, all I can tell you is some of these, one of the bulls, as I recall, has 21, I mean, they rate the bulls, too. In other words, there's one that hasn't been ridden in the last 31 times that he's been, you know, out. Mm-hmm. And there had been one of the fellows had actually ridden the bull that he was assigned this time. Last time he rode him, but this time he didn't at all. I mean, it's some of these guys, if they stay on for 2 or 3 seconds, that's long.
Do guys actually get gored sometimes?
Well, they can't. That's why they've always had the clowns. If you ever go to a rodeo or even the professional bull riding, they'll have a couple guys out there who are clowns that defect and try to get that
bull.
Distract the bull. But there was one guy that this past Sunday that almost got gored. I don't know. Why do I like, I mean, I grew up, you know, riding horses, and we would ride horses that would buck us off. And, you know, frankly, I think I think it's really fun to watch.
Well, horses,
a lot of us
far cry from
riding
a bull.
Out
it
of
is.
Country and things like that. If you've ever been to the Calgary Rodeo, which they call the Calgary
Stampede.
It's amazing. It's well worth seeing.
That's on my list of things to do. Yeah. I really want to go to the Calgary Stampede.
It's very cool to see the full dress parade of the Mounties on horseback thundering down the street in Alberta, or Calgary, rather.
Calgary.
And as they go into the arena. And they're blowing bugles, and then they have the Scotch Pipers and one of the Canadian regiments where they all play bagpipes. And then the rodeo starts, and there's bull riding and bronco busting and calf roping and all kinds of other cool stuff. And one year, a young woman actually won the bull riding contest.
And a woman rode?
A young woman. She was about 19. And she managed to stay on the nastiest of bulls for about 10 seconds.
Wow. You're talking about 10 seconds, guys. Let's we better play some of the spots, and then we'll come back and wrap this up. And I think we'll have to, how many sports did we talk about today?
I think we missed baseball. Let's talk baseball.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk baseball.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Well, we're back with the sports guys. We've decided that we've talked about everything, and I just challenged Ken. I said that rodeos were a college sport, and he actually looked it up, and he agrees that may not be popular college activity here in the East, but it certainly is big out in the West. And that's one of the ways, by the way, that the kids learn to, do the bull riding.
There you
that's
go.
One of the, you know, certainly not the bulls that they have in the professional circuit, but they do bull riding, I think, in most of those rodeos, maybe not all of them.
Mark it on your calendar, June 14th and 15th, Casper, Wyoming, the NCAA Rodeo Championship. So that's something to look forward to. And, you know, with all these networks we have now, with Fox Network and ESPN and ESPN2 and ESPN College, I'm quite sure that's going to be on television. So
yeah,
there you go. There's your opportunity.
But, you know, actually, that would be that would be a fun thing to take kids to. When is it? June?
June 14th. And
rodeo
15th.
Is fun for kids.
Casper, Wyoming.
And then up in the Calgary Stampede, isn't that early July?
I
believe it's around the 4th of July. Maybe I'm wrong.
July, but I don't know if it's exactly right on the 4th.
But, you know, one of the things that it really is a shame, because most of us don't have time anymore, and now with gas prices, people are not doing as much, traveling by car. And this is a great country, though, to drive and go to some of those things. I will say I was just in Arizona, and I was amazed at how many big RVs were still on the road. I mean, we did some traveling, another story, but we did some traveling on old Route 66, and it was really fun. But, lots of these places are really interesting, and there are a lot of small rodeos out in the West, and a lot of really fun activities going on in some of those little towns in the West.
Boy, I am Google Meister here tonight. Calgary Stampede, July 3rd to July 12th. It's a 10-day event right there in Calgary.
And Calgary is a great
Alberta
place. And another place to go to is, Banff. Banff is not my favorite. Well, it's so touristy. So that's my only thing about Banff.
Well, I was in Banff in 1970.
Well, that's different.
A long time ago.
Yeah, but now it's one of the tourist spots.
Yeah.
But in any event, what else do we want to say?
120 miles from Calgary. I'll tell you the neat ride if you ever, but you got to do it in the summer, is get in the car and go from Calgary all the way to Edmonton. Make sure you stop in Red Deer, one of the neat Canadian towns. If you really want to see what a Wild West town looks like in Canada, Red Deer is a place to go.
Well, let me tell you, Edmonton now would not be the place to go because we think it's cold.
Cold is the word.
I actually had one of my grandsons lived up there for a year, and they would go to school. 30 below zero was nothing. It would rain. It would snow, and there would be 3 foot of snow overnight, and